Hi, this is Claire, Matt and Kimber, Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast.
This is our Friends of the Show catch-up podcast with our favourite regulars.
Plus the special guests and celebs who hung out with us this week.
This Big Breakfast catch-up is for the new Elite Triple Cell Solar Pool Blanket.
Nigella Lawson almost lives in Australia these days.
Doesn't she?
She's heading back to the West for her show, An Evening with Nigella, on Tuesday, the 29th of January at the Riverside Theatre. Tickets available for the Queen of the Kitchen, let's be honest, via www.nigellaliveonstage.com. And she's on the line right now. Nigella, welcome, and how are you?
I'm very well, thank you very much.
That's very good.
Nigella, you were just in WA for the Gourmet Food Festival in Margaret River. Now, WA at the moment, we're sort of struggling with our tourism numbers, and we're thinking maybe it's because we don't even know what we're supposed to be selling about the joint. So what do you think of when you're overseas, you're back at home, do you think, oh, I wish I was in WA so that I could...
Oh, I do. So I can see all that beauty. I mean, there's something so wonderfully lush about it. All those rich greens and then that blue of the sky, that huge sky. And, of course, you know, the food and the wine is so wonderful in WA. So... for me, it's got everything I need.
Okay, oh, yes. Well, we'll plug that. We'll go, okay, so far it's pretty green, it's pretty lush. Lush is a good word.
Yeah,
and
but
there's wine.
Beauty. I think WA's got extraordinary natural beauty.
Mm.
And at the same time, and along with that, beautiful food and beautiful wine. So pretty much my ideal place.
Yeah, enough said, really. Now, Nigella, I don't know how to ask this in an appropriate sounding way, but what can one expect from An Evening with Nigella?
You know, I've just finished doing this tour in the UK, and what's really interesting is how different each evening is from one another, because I never know what I'm going to be asked, and it's lively and it's warm and it's engaged, and you know, depending on where I am or what questions come up, different topics emerge.
Sure.
And it's a really wonderful way, I think, of having a food conversation, because food is about communication and sharing, so it's great to be able to do it in that intimate way, and then afterwards there's a book signing, so I get to chat to people a bit more. So in a way, it's friendly.
Mm. Friendly is good in 2018. There's not more. There should be more of it. Hey, Nigella, I'm a very lazy cook, and if I can't be bothered in the kitchen, I'll have too many salty snacks. I'll go the Doritos or even a bit of cheese on crackers. But when you can't be bothered, when you're exhausted, do you go leftovers or do you call Uber Eats or do you do a lazy toast?
No, but leftovers is always great. But, you know, I don't think you're morally superior for cooking. And, you know, great bread and cheese is a wonderful way to eat. So I'm always, you know, I very much like to maximize my pleasurable eating opportunities. But I don't mean I have to cook, you know, if I haven't got the time, or, you know, so I'm very, you know, if I can have a great salad or sometimes a poached egg on toast, is a fabulous supper. But I do like opening my most creative way of cooking is opening the fridge and winging it with whatever I've got.
I love that. My wife does that. It's incredible.
Yeah. Well, Nigella, Christmas, unbelievably, is just around the corner. At what age did you start taking the responsibilities of the Christmas dinner? Because I'm sort of nearing 40 and I'm still palming that off to my parents.
No, I think I started cooking Christmas quite early on. But, I mean, let them, if they like cooking for you, let them do it. But it's quite, I mean, I'm quite enjoy as well those years when you have a big group of you and every, you know, I will do the main part, but everyone brings something. And it's quite nice to do it in that sort of communal way. But I don't know, because presumably in WA, you're having a more summery version of Christmas than
True.
I would in the UK.
Oh, I wouldn't be so sure of that. There are still plenty of people around an oven when it's 40 degrees trying to cook a bloody roast.
Trying to do all the trimmings.
Yes.
Yeah. And you don't even need to put anything in the oven to cook.
That's right.
You just put the turkey out on the table and you just let it cook in the sun.
Next to the pool.
The Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber.
Time to talk to the man who's doing a little bit of meddling and upsetting the Liberal Party. It's our former great leader, Big Mal. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Claire. Hello to you, Kimber, and to you, young Matthew. Always a pleasure, never a chore. I believe that there was somebody in Perth on Saturday night impersonating me.
True.
Yes, that's true,
sir.
Just can't stop him.
Yeah.
Are you okay with it, though?
I'm fine with it.
You were well represented.
I don't think much of the impersonation. I think, you know, but obviously other people must think it's great, otherwise he wouldn't have a gig.
Well, look, Big Mal, you can get a bit loose-lipped now that you're no longer in power. So
absolutely.
What did you make of the Victorian election result? It was a bit of a landslide.
Well, it was a joy. It was a joyous occasion. Now, Daniel Andrews is the Premier for Victoria, of course, who's going on about roads, rail and hospitals, infrastructure. Not for a moment did he give me any credit. It's the Turnbull backlash that he's bringing all this around. People love me. They always did. They love me. Look at what happened in Wentworth, a 17% swing, and then again in Victoria. Oh, I was aroused. I had a Schadenfreude arousal. It's terrific stuff. So good on Daniel Andrews. I actually sent him a text on Saturday night saying, good on you. Because I, too, like Daniel, hate the Liberal Party. So we've got something in common.
And Sir ScoMo has actually compared himself to the Premier, Daniel Andrews. Is he correct?
Well, good question, Matthew. ScoMo in the Parliament, Federal Parliament yesterday, said that, like Daniel Andrews, he was all about infrastructure and building Australia, and that he had a great approval rating and had very strong economic credentials. He said, and who else is like that? I am. It's like, oh, come on, ScoMo. He put your pants in the Engadine McDonald's in 1997. Now, he compared himself to Daniel Andrews. They're still in denial, the Liberal Party, complete denial. They are an African fish. In denial.
A rumour joke.
Hey, Big Mel, 4 weeks to Christmas. What are the plans for Chrissy this year? Is it going to be the Piper or a snowy one in New York? What are you doing?
No, well, I'm going to be up the Piper, Clarsey, entertaining some dignitaries, some close friends, neighbours, what have you. Alex is coming from Singapore. Daisy will be there with her family. Mm. And I, of course, take great pride in putting the apron on, hug the chef, and taking care of the entire menu. Traditionally, we have tried the turducken, which is a chicken stuffed inside a duck, stuffed inside a turkey. But this year, we're going for a chicken stuffed inside a pheasant, stuffed inside a turkey. Mm. It's an IKEA joke. You go away and put it together yourself.
Big Mel, what does it take to... is there a prerequisite to be part of the party at your place? Mm. Is it just family or...
Well, no, anyone's welcome. Kim Kale, of course, you would always be welcome. We're close friends and associates. We've worked together for a while on Mix 94.5.
Oh, thanks.
But you've got to be able to say fire hydrant.
Yeah, and you'd have to provide a tofurkey.
Fire hydrant.
So Christopher Pine will be in. He's okay.
Oh, Christopher Pine will be there, lathered up in a pair of hot pants probably.
Ready to go.
In the Watusi.
Hey, Big Mal, it's been a pleasure once again. You have a wonderful week.
You guys too. Mix 94.5 rocks Perth. Good on you, runner.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claresy, Matt and Kimber.
For the final time for 2018, we'll get the Premier on. What do you think?
Brilliant. Yeah.
Here he is, the 30th Premier of Western Australia, Mike McCown. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for having me.
And even though it's Blue Light Thursday, it's nice to see you in person, that you don't have the mullet that I thought you did when I tweeted you last week.
Well,
it's actually not legit.
After you embarrassed me so much, I had to cut it off.
So, Premier, what's happening? What's going on
in
the world?
There's a bit going on.
What have we got?
We've been talking about some luminaries from Wesfarmers in, you know, Richard Goyder, the former boss, and Rob Scott, the current boss, concerned about Christmas shopping hours. Can you put the problem to rest?
This Christmas, I encourage everyone to go out and spend up. The economy is getting stronger. Unemployment is down. And we have 34 additional hours of trading in the lead up to Christmas. So that means at night and the morning on the weekends, there'll be lots and lots of additional hours of trading.
Yep.
I think that reflects consumer demand.
Mm. Why do you think people are so upset about this? We've got the in the paper talking about, oh, workers are going to lose $350, which no one wants that to happen. But, I mean, why are the industry side of things, the retail side of things, so serious about these shopping hours?
Well, what we've done is we haven't extended Christmas trading hours from 7 in the morning till 8 in the morning. So we're not doing that for the first 2 weeks of December.
Oh, okay, right.
The thing about it is no one goes.
Right,
so
okay.
All these small businesses have to open. And a lot of small business people, you know, they run their businesses on their own and they work long hours. We just thought with no one going shopping, we would give them that hour off. There's still
34 additional hours of trading on the weekends after the 17th of December. It's, you know, okay. It's open slather, yeah. Basically.
Yep.
I thought that was enough.
Well, yeah, there's been a good 300 days prior to this that I felt like we could have done some Christmas shopping. I knew Christmas was coming. I don't know if anyone else knew it was coming. I feel like we got plenty of time.
Yeah. Well, there is plenty of time, but the argument goes that people are going to go out in that first week in December between 7 in the morning and 8 in the morning and buy, you know, do their Christmas shopping. Mm. I don't know about you, but me, I rush out to the shops about December 23,
yes.
About 8 o'clock at night.
You sound like me.
And I buy everything. Yeah. And I think the most important thing is we've got late night trading. We've got all those things in the lead up to Christmas.
Yep.
That's when the huge demand is on.
Now, look, it's been a big week. You have lifted the ban on fracking in WA, which immediately fills us with concern as soon as we hear that we're fracking. Why do we need to frack? And once we've said yes, are we giving the green light for an ongoing situation?
What we've allowed is for 2% of Western Australia to be open to fracking. That's 2% of the landmass. So that's in the Kimberley and the Midwest. And that will mean there's full Environmental Protection Authority assessment before there's fracking. Landowners and traditional owners, so farmers and traditional owners, will have the right of veto over fracking on their land. And the reason we've done this is there's been a full scientific inquiry that's looked at every aspect of it and says it can be done with low risk. So you can't go and commission this full scientific inquiry that has looked at every aspect of it. It's like an encyclopedia, this report. And it says there's low risk and then say we're ignoring that.
Mm.
Particularly when we're going to run short of gas in the 2020s and our economy very much depends upon the mining and resources industry. Gas is actually a much lower carbon emitter than other forms of fuel. So diesel, which a lot of the communities in the north run on, emits lots more carbon and lots more particulates than gas does. So if we can convert a lot of communities from diesel to gas, we're actually going to reduce emissions.
Good.
Premier, I just wanted to know, and of course, you mentioned last time when you caught up with Matt and I last week that, man, you are coming to Australia. We talk about Manchester United, the great football club, and they're playing Leeds and Perth Glory. I just want to know about this photo that was in the West. Are you scared of heights? Because you were perched on the top of Optus Stadium. How was that feeling?
It was about 3 degrees.
Right.
The wind was howling through.
Yeah.
And I was right up the top on this sort of platform that was a little bit frightening. but it was great, a great experience to see Perth from that angle.
Yeah, but it was.
And next year we're planning on putting in place tours where you can climb to the top of the stadium and walk around.
That's right. Pretty much where you were.
And that will be also part of our zip lining from the bridge and our climbing the bridge. So offering a whole range of tourism experiences. And I can tell you, climbing up there is a bit scary, but it'll be totally safe. And it's quite a view.
Hey, guys, we're less than 4 weeks to Christmas. Mr. Premier from Clesie, Matt and Kimber, we'd like to wish you and the family and, of course, your party all the best.
Thank you very much and happy Christmas to you and your listeners.
The Big Breakfast with Clesie, Matt and Kimber.
Mum is the word.
The word is the word that you heard.
And she is the ubiquitous Janelle Koenig.
Oh, that's a $10 word, isn't it? Love an unexpected cue. Talking about unexpected, so there was big gossip at the school gate this week.
Ooh.
Big gossip.
Right.
Mairead, my 9-year-old, came home and she said, Quinn's mum's pregnant.
Oh.
And
really?
I said, don't be so silly, because they have their family. They've got a child in high school and a 9-year-old as well.
Right.
And that's it. No. Mm. So I went to the queen bee of the school and went, is it true? And she said, no, I haven't heard anything about that.
Oh.
And I thought, okay. And then we asked the actual source of the information. And yes, she's pregnant. She's pregnant at 42. And I must say, it was a thrill to know gossip before the Queen of the
school. Well done.
It was just amazing.
Queen Bee,
amazing
you're fired.
Moment. Yeah. So it's very, very exciting that there's going to be a new baby at school. But she's 42. And so when we heard the news, everybody said, oh, my God. But everybody thought, oh, my God.
Yeah.
my God. But I am actually kind of jealous. I would have loved another baby. Because
you want another small one.
A small one. Because I had my kids quite late too. I had my first at 34 and my second at 38.
Right.
And I remember holding my youngest in the hospital and saying to Phil, because he was 45 when we had the second one.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to go for a third, we need to go now.
Yeah. Sure.
Because I don't want to have three in nappies by the time you're 50.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we decided not to anyway. But so I'm kind of jealous that there's going to be a new baby at school. But the good thing about being an older mother, though, is that all of her friends have got jobs and money. So it's not like when you have a kid when you're 18 and you get like maybe a wrap or you know, a dummy.
Yeah.
They're going to get good stuff.
Great presents.
And there's going to be babysitters on tap.
Yes. Yes. Silken clothes and babysitters.
Yeah.
Love it.
And 42 is the new 41.
Oh, look, Janet Jackson had a baby at 51.
Yeah. Did she?
Yeah. Madonna had one at 49.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sonia Kruger.
Yeah. She just had hers at 50 something. Yep.
Yep, so, you know, 42 is nothing.
Good work, Quinn's mum.
Good work.
And good work, Quinn's dad.
Absolutely.
And Queen Bee, lift your rating.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What do you got coming up, Janelle?
Something very exciting is coming up this weekend, Matthew Dictinsky. Mm-hmm. So you might not know this, Claire and Kimber, but I was recently selected to be part of the Emerging Playwrights group through Black Swan Theatre Company.
Yes, right. Very great.
And very great. And my play reading is going to happen this Saturday at the State Theatre Centre, and one of the stars of the play reading is none other than Matt Dictinsky.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, you know, I love the theatre, as
yes,
you know.
Do.
Well, yeah, well, the position was wildly auditioned for, and you got it. I just asked for you. But it is a play called Stuck in the Middle with You, and it's about being middle-aged.
Oh, it's about Quinn's mum.
Having a baby in school.
Suddenly you took the wind out of Matt's sails. He kind of went, I got the role because I'm middle-aged.
No, partly, yes, partly. And because
he's not having
amazing
a baby.
Talent.
Janelle's already told me why I got the part, because he's awful.
Yeah.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
I thought you'd like to play something different.
I would love to play that.
You're often an Oscar.
You're a triple threat, Matt.
Don't worry, I can tap into me dark side.
You're a triple threat. You're an actor and a radio performer and a musician, and I'm a zero threat. So, this weekend, State Theatre Centre.
Well done. Congratulations.
And well done.
I'd love to hear you read my words.
It's going
to
be great.
The Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber.
Just been chatting about the career of someone who seems to have been on our screens forever. Her name is Nadine Garner, Australian actor. Look, Henderson Kids, City Homicide, that's going back a long time, City Homicide, and the Blake Mysteries in more recent times.
Absolutely.
And now she's the star of the show. No pressure, Nadine Garner. Welcome. How are you?
Thanks, guys. No pressure indeed.
Well, Nadine, it is great that a successful drama gets another evolution where you now play the lead character. Were you waiting for the writers to just suddenly give you a more dramatic backstory you didn't know you had?
Oh, look, you know, obviously, you know, we can't talk about this without mentioning Craig and the allegations surrounding him and the fact that we basically lost the show. Seven had taken the show after ABC axed it, and we were so thrilled and excited. And then, lo and behold, all the allegations came out, Seven dumped the show, and we were all out of a job. And there's a lot of us who make the show. We've been together for 6 years making that show. And for some of us, I don't really get any other work other than that show at the moment. So it's my livelihood. It's how I pay the bills.
Yep.
And to lose it was catastrophic. I mean, I know you guys understand you're in the arts and, you know, your contracts are tenuous.
Yeah.
And if someone just decides to tear one up, then it's pretty catastrophic. So, yeah, we basically thought, how can we salvage this brand? How can we keep it alive and keep everyone employed? We couldn't do much. Craig's court case is pending, but we all still need to keep going. So we found a way to dramaturge the story, bringing Jean into the forefront, which I think works fairly well because she's kind of been pitted that way over the last 5 years as the kind of strong woman behind the man. So, you know, it wasn't such a big leap to put her in that place. Mm. And we've moved the story forward sort of 3 years. So it's sort of set against the assassination of JFK, and it's 1963. So she's moved, the world's sort of moved on its axis, and she's come forward a little as well.
Nadine, being in radio for about 100 years, I was a bit obsessed when Roar FM came on. We'll just play a little bit of Roar FM.
I'm telling you, no one's going to listen to a stuttering DJ. It'll be us in here having a great time, and that'll be about it.
Oh, chill out, Granger. She's good.
So what? Nobody listens. You want to be like every other radio station? What's the point? You want to be like the rest of the world where people like me and Sarah never get a go? Great.
That's not exactly what he said, Zelda.
Look, you don't want to be like every other radio station. Three voices there. One was you. One was Dominic Purcell. Do you know the name of the other actor?
I think that was Eleanor Mandela.
Oh, that's awkward because, Nadine, it was actually Matt Dictinsky.
Matthew
and
Dictinsky.
That's Matt on our show.
Matt's on our show.
Matt Dictinsky. I'm sorry, of course.
No, that's you're dead to me, Nadine. That's it. It's over.
I I knew your voice. I was trying to be clever and remember. Wasn't there Eleanor? Wasn't there as well?
No. She was about to jump in.
She was.
Hey, how you going, Nadine?
No, we set you up, Nadine.
I'm good, Maddie. I'd heard through the grapevine that you were on radio over there, and I was very pleased for you. I'm so thrilled.
Thank you. I'm now Perth's 17th most popular DJ.
I think that's brilliant, Maddie, and you've got a great voice for radio.
Oh, Joel, thank you so much, Nadine. Yeah. I tell you what, there's something about, you know, we love a show set in a country town too, don't we? And that beautiful gold rush town of Ballarat, it's a wonderful setting for the show.
Yeah, I think there's something about period drama too, where there's just a moment where you can be nostalgic, and in a world where everything's about reality TV and how naked you can get people on the television, I think there's a lovely sort of relief in watching something that's quite cultivated and crafted and just beautiful to look at, you know.
Exactly.
Hey, Nadine, we have had a lot of actors in recent times, and they, as you mentioned there, you know, it's a tough gig, isn't it? Well, the life of a working actor, and a lot of them, you know, maybe in a big hit show. Roger Corsi said to us a couple of years ago, he goes, when I'm not working, sometimes I'm making car ads, and sometimes, you know, at times in my career I've been down the wharf. It is a tough gig, isn't it, to just continually try and find that income?
Yeah, look, I think there's a really gross misconception, particularly in Australia, about Australian actors. I think we get confused with our American counterparts who are on massive wages when they do a job and sometimes can live on those films or television series for years to come. But it's not the case for Australian actors. We don't get paid that highly, and often we'll only work for a few months of the year and then have to live on that for the rest of the year, with the added uncertainty whether there's another job coming. So it is quite a tough life. I know it's our choice. We choose to live like that.
Yeah.
But the misconception is tiring after a while, where people just think you're okay because you're on television. And, you know, it's not particularly helpful, especially when, you know, people think with a show like Blake, well, why? How could you go on and make it without Craig? I mean, there's a little bit of that backlash, a little bit around. Like, how could you do it? It's, you know, shouldn't you really just be holding the space for him to return? But the bottom line is, for us, it isn't a hobby. It's our livelihood. It's how we pay our bills, and we need to keep working.
So, well, it helps that you're bloody good too. That's okay.
It does.
Yeah, and people can make their decision once they've seen the show. Give it a go. Give it a chance. If you were one of those people who were naysaying, you know.
Okay, look, we all want people to be loyal to the characters that they've loved, and I don't mind that, but I think there is a bit of a fresh air gap between what they see on the screen and the reality of the people's lives who make it. We make it because it's our job. It's all we do. It's all we know. And when those jobs disappear, then it is actually a critical situation.
Okay. So 7 tonight, 8:30 p.m. The Blake Mysteries. Nadine Garner, good to catch up.
Oh, thank you for your time, and lovely to talk to you, Maddie.
You too, my friend. Well done.
Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt, and Kimber. Talking basketball with Damian Martin from the Perth Wildcats.
This amazing ball club that have been, you know, making playoffs for as long as this guy's been alive. Damian Martin, how are you, mate?
I've actually heartbroken. Off air, you were telling me you went to the game last weekend.
We did.
You did, but when we were down 12, you left.
We were doing some filming for
I don't want to say loyalty is not a strength of yours, but hey, look, we're down 12 while you're present. Yeah. We come back and win when you left. So maybe it's a sign, no more Perth Arena for you.
Sorry, mate. It was a flat start for the boys that returned game against the Breakers, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think we're looking around like, where's Bryce? Where's Bryce? Yeah. Normally gets us on our front foot, especially at the offensive end. And our MVP, the superstar, the best player in the league, was out injured. Yep. But so the guys, started a bit rusty, but then when they picked up the tempo, they were incredible. So to come from 12 behind against a great team in New Zealand and get the win, it's one of the more special ones and one I won't forget.
Damo, you haven't got a game this weekend, so we can talk about something else. What's your Trivial Pursuit specialty? Like, on a quiz night, what's your go-to genre?
Oh, I go with geography normally.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not saying it's a strength. Let's use that word very lightly, but it is the one I usually choose.
Geography's where your bag's at. I wouldn't have known that.
Yeah.
Just learning things about you as we go.
Oh, a good teacher in high school, so I insisted on always doing geography courtesy of Mr. Johnson. Shout out to Mr. Johnson if you're listening in country New South Wales.
Nice.
Capitals and flags, was that a strength?
Yeah, and funnily enough, we've just bought in Edgewater, and about 300 metres away, there's a gentleman in his 60s, and I went and knocked on his door the other day with with Maggie. And I said, oh, look, you have a different flag up every day. Just wondering the story behind it. And about 30 minutes later, I had the history of every flag, why he does it. But he was in the Navy, but it stemmed back to, it's a bit nostalgic, when he was in his primary school days, he used to be the flag bearer. So now he's just obsessed with putting up a different flag every day.
Awesome. Yeah, it's beautiful. How cute are you going to meet the neighbours and get a sense of the community?
Well, I told Maggie as we passed our house, she like pointed to home and said, oh, home, home. I said, no, we're going to go say hi to someone. Yeah. And so I was a bit nervous, never met this guy.
Yeah.
Went and knocked on his door. We had this great conversation. He was brilliant. And so then every house for the next 300 metres on the way back to home, Maggie would point to the house and say, go say hi, go say hi, go say hi.
You want to meet everyone.
Haven't taught my daughter stranger danger at all.
No.
So it was just failing fathering 101.
And for blokes flying a new flag every day, you want to find out what's going on. Oh, I'm living next door to the UN. I mean, come on.
Exactly. No, he does it. If there's a national day, he would do it. Otherwise, he did have the rainbow flag up when it was celebrating 1 year since gay marriage was approved. So, you know, he's on top of things.
Actually, there are a lot of flags flying in our city, but they're almost all bloody Eagles fans at the moment. Driving me crazy.
Loud and proud. Yeah, let's get some of those Wildcats ones up.
It was so exciting to be down on court level the other day. And we were only there for like 15 minutes, but it was so brilliant, that atmosphere, and to be there and watching you guys, you know, at eye level. And the fans, my goodness me, you have got the greatest fans in Australian sport. I saw, Kimber pointed the gentleman out, possibly the greatest, most luxurious rat's tail I've ever seen in my life. This thing was beautiful, wasn't it?
I mean, it was something to behold.
I mean,
really.
Rat's tail doesn't even give it.
It was rat's tail, but with the length of the cartoon character from Tangled.
Yes.
I mean, like proper down the tower, you can rescue him from below type thing.
It shows effort and commitment.
It
like
does.
Right now, Maggie has a bit of a mullet,
but
that's just from lazy parenting. Whereas this guy, it's taken some time.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Okay, so a bit of a break for cats at the moment, but it is national duty for the boomers. I hear that the boys, you know, it's the World Cup Asian sort of leg of the qualifiers at this point in time. So some guys who wouldn't normally get a game are getting a game. And I hear that Vlahov and Bradkey and a couple of others are on standbys as well.
It was a bit like that when the squad was announced, as extended squad. Obviously, all of our players, Aussie players in the NBA, they're not eligible.
Yeah.
So it's an NBL-based team. And yeah, Craig Moller, who played one game for the Fremantle Dockers.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Multi-sport guys.
Incredible. Started as a basketballer, went to AFL, played a game, and then came back to basketball. Now suiting up for the Australian team. So it's a hell of a story.
Yeah.
But yeah, I look at guys like Clint Steindl, who I thought deserved a call up. You know, the way Greg Hoyer, the intensity he brings to the game. So, you know, Angus Brandt misses through injury. Jesse Wagstaff was unlucky not to get the call up. But Mitch Norton, Nick Kay will wear the Wildcats jersey or represent us in an Australian jersey. And we can't wait to see how they do.
Great.
Hey, mate, good to see you again. The boys back on soon. How far away are you?
Yeah, I'm hoping to play our next game. So that'll be in Sydney against Andrew Bogut, former Wildcat Kevin Lynch. So Bogut and I...
Bogut who?
Exactly right. He's made about $100 million in the NBA.
Yeah,
we would live together, Australian Institute of Sport, as 17-year-olds. So it's kind of nice that it's come full circle and we'll be opponents in the latter stages of our careers.
Defense against the seven-footer. Good luck.
Yeah, this will be fun.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie.
Kimbo, I've got to say that the current affairs icon, which is 60 Minutes, is celebrating 40 years. 1978, can you believe
that? It's been a while, hasn't it?
That's been 40 years. Funny, isn't it? And so they're celebrating on Channel 9 this Sunday at 7 p.m. So many household names have come from that show, the likes of Ray Martin, George Negus, and one of those is Liz Hayes, who joins us. Liz, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
We're very well. Liz, 40 years of 60 Minutes. I mean, you guys have broken some huge stories, but because it is over 40 years, is some of the footage really cringeworthy, the fashion or the journalistic deliveries?
Yeah. I don't think there's any way of getting around that. There's no doubt that I can look back and go, oh my goodness, look at that hair. Or, you know, whatever. But, you know, that's life and that's okay.
At least you still have hair, Liz. Some of us aren't that fortunate. Liz, you know, it's been a wonderful career for you personally. You're much respected, but I do ask the question, it does seem that we are caught in a kind of no man's land between, you know, titillating stories and real kind of hard-hitting journalism that I personally want to see. How do you feel the landscape is at the moment?
Oh, look, you know, there's no doubt we're pushing it uphill, to be deadly honest, because there is the groundswell of celebrity intrigue, and to try and get over the top of that is hard going sometimes, and maybe that's why we're watching reality TV in our place when we used to be watching 60 Minutes. So that probably tells you the where we're all at. For us, that's really hard, but we continue on. 60 Minutes has always had a sort of a magazine format, which has meant that it has always been designed for, you know, for everybody to be able to view and enjoy. So we want you to be informed, but we want you to engage in the first place. So there's always been, you know, a bit of a balancing act between getting you in and then showing you and telling you what we would like to show and tell you. So
sure.
It's a constant battle. Mm. And I'm sorry to say that, but that's how it just is. And particularly now, probably more than ever.
Yes.
And when they're putting together the memorable moments for this special, did they come to you as journos and ask what you think your biggest story was, or were they chosen for you?
You know, that's one of the hardest questions to be asked, because you've done so many stories and, frankly, my memory's not that great. I need to be dogged into being reminded. But, no, there are some stories that stay with you. And, you know, when you do go back through the catalogue, you go, oh, that's right, yeah, that was extraordinary. No, they're not chosen for us. Well, not in my case, at least.
Mm.
Yeah, the love and admiration for Gerald Stone, the original, one of the very early producers. 60 Minutes Australia just couldn't have happened without him. But the love amongst the staff and crew and cast is widespread, isn't it?
Look, Gerald Stone is the foundation, really, and what an extraordinary guy. And he had probably the toughest job going, making this program work, and he did. Mm. And I think he's always going to be a star to us. I mean, he is the guy we tend to look to when we think, oh, God, have we gone off the rails? And he's quite reaffirming, actually. He can tell you very quickly whether or not he thinks you're doing a good or a bad job. And you know, he's been far more complimentary than we had expected at times.
I guess the big question that's on everyone's lips is, how's the stopwatch?
Well, you know, it's not digital, is it?
No, no.
I like the stopwatch.
Yeah, me too.
Come on, we all like it.
You hear that ticking, and I mean, it's one of those, you know, real
iconic
audio cues. Yeah. You know exactly what's coming on. Yeah.
It is that. It's like the school bell, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's a calling. Yeah. I'm Liam Bartlett. No, I'm not. He's a mate of our show. Hey, Liz, all the best. We will see you on 60 Minutes for the 40th anniversary.
Yeah, congratulations.
You will indeed.
Well done.
Listen, thank you very much for having us on. I really appreciate it.
That Big Breakfast catch-up was for the new Elite Triple Cell Solar Pool Blanket.
The Big Breakfast with Claire Z, Matt and Kimber. Weekday mornings from 6 on Mix 94.5.